You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's Tuesday, December 9th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you up here live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us through social media, getting us by podcast, however you got here, we appreciate it so much. I got a question for you, a little serious one about things in the news. Should Wisconsin's county jails be used by ICE for roundups of people who are not covered by an arrest warrant? You know, actual criminals. Because right now we have a roundup of people based on racist quotas, where masked secret police, or at least most of the time it is, there have been impersonators causing a public safety crisis. But these masked secret police that we now have on the streets of the United States are rounding up people, and in some cases, holding them on what's called an administrative warrant. But that's not the same as a criminal warrant, an arrest warrant for committing a crime. And before you jump in the comment sections and go, they're committing a crime being here illegally, lock them up, that's still a misdemeanor. These are people who have come into this country. They've been working. They are not the narco terrorists that Donald Trump said he was going to go after. He's going after all kinds of people who have been performing valuable services to the American economy and having them rounded up without arrest warrants. Some county jails, they're good with that. Others are saying, no, we're here for actual criminals. You prove probable cause of a crime, that's another matter. So we're going to talk to Ruth Conniff about that. She's written an editorial in the Wisconsin Examiner, which makes sense because she's the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. And we'll have her coming up a little bit later on this morning. Throughout the course of the show, you can reach us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app where you can leave us a voice note or you can call us right through the app. You can put something in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube. And of course, in the app, you can send us a text message. And you really want to do that an hour from now when we give you the latest keyword in the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. There are chances to enter throughout the course of the day with different keywords each time. I'll let you know the 7 o'clock hours keyword, and you'll have until 8 o'clock to text it in and be in the running for cash or prizes. Coming up today, we're going to have Cam Stevenson joining us from Courier Newsroom, the parent company of Up North News. He's in Washington, D.C., and no shortage of topics there. Among them, the talk of a bailout for farmers. And look, there. What's the phrase? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. In the first term, Donald Trump started trade wars. And farmers lost their markets, and it cost taxpayers billions of dollars in bailout payments so that farmers wouldn't go out of business because of Donald Trump's trade wars. Well, here he is again has started a trade war. Keep in mind that after the first trade war, the markets did not all come back and fall back into place because China, for example, found new places like Argentina and Brazil to get soybeans and other commodities. And now Trump's doing it again. And now, once again, he's saying, don't worry, farmers, I'm coming at you with $12 billion. And by the way, it's all the money we've brought in from tariffs. No, it's not. The money from tariffs was paid by you, the American consumer. So now he's taking more money that would have gone to, you know, healthcare or the military or a host of other things, and putting it into these bailouts for a trade war. We'll talk to Cam Stevenson a bit about that coming up later this morning. From a weather standpoint, a lot of folks are going to have to pay close attention to their local forecast throughout the day on their Civic Media station because we've got a snowstorm moving in. It's what's called a clipper system, Although I always associate a clipper system with something that moves fast, drops about an inch of snow, and moves on. But apparently this one's got a bit more oomph behind it. And so from the I-94 corridor in western Wisconsin northward, there's a winter storm warning for places that could easily get 3 to 5 inches of snow. And then south of that line, less snow, but an increased possibility of some freezing rain or a wintry mix of precipitation. So you got to pay close attention to the condition of the roads where you might be going, or maybe not today if you can avoid it. Temps right now across the state range from the upper teens to the low 20s. The low spot is 14 degrees in Solon Springs. The warm spot, 28 degrees in West Bend. Let's bring in Parker Olson, who's producing this fabulous radio program down in Madison Studio A2. Parker, what's happened to the camera there? You look surprisingly less green.
Yeah, I don't really know what that's about, to be honest with you. I think I must have rolled the dice correctly today. I don't know.
It's not Technicolor, don't get me wrong, but I mean, you don't look so green in
the
hills.
Well, if I were to shift, I think it's a bit worse back here.
Look at that. You simply rolled back in your chair and it changed everything.
Yeah, I believe it has to do with the black curtain when I'm over here and the white wall when I'm over there.
Oh, computer cameras are weird. I mean,
well, if you remember right, this is this camera came not from Civic Media, but rather a Civic Media employee who bought it, I believe, during COVID, and had absolutely zero use for it whatsoever, and it had been sitting in the bottom of his backpack for years. That is one Dominic Lee, the Italian Stallion. yeah. So that's the camera we're working with in A2.
I think the camera has COVID is what it's been all this time. It's got long COVID, and maybe we can work on that anyway. But, you know, you're there, and you've got the – we haven't given an update on Parker's facial hair in quite a while here. Parker was growing the beard out to look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And mission accomplished, he's now got a beard that's roughly in line with what you'd expect from a cartoon character. And then he's trying to to let it go from there. It's not quite to Santa Claus length yet, but
no,
it's
along. I reckon this time next year we'll have a nice, good, short Santa beard.
You going to let this keep going? Is this the thing now?
I kind of like it. I'm getting a little worried. I think I need clippers. I got to trim it up because it's getting a little gross on the sides, kind of. But
that's good. No,
I don't hate it.
No, it works well for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, I was going to pull the old Caddyshack thing. Oh, it looks good on you. No, it does look good on you. And we're glad to get that update on it. So, all right. also coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking to Superior Mayor Jim Payne. We were initially, and we still will talk to him about the issue of affordable housing. He put out a very thoughtful post over the weekend on social media about what his community could do, and frankly, what all communities could do, to address the crisis of affordable housing around Wisconsin. And it collected a lot of comments, some good, some critical. So we'll ask him, you know, about the critiques and how that helps move the process forward. Unfortunately, there was also an incident in Superior over the weekend where a police officer was shot and wounded. And so we'll talk to the mayor about the latest on that as well. We'll talk to Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, WJFW-TV. And we'll continue our 12 Days of Community Kindness, where we highlight different groups around the state that you could help throughout this holiday season. You know, make Giving Tuesday last the whole season long. If you can't stick around for this and all of the other things coming up yet this morning, remember you can pod this program by heading over to Spotify or Apple and following Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, that way. Not a lot to tell you about in sports here, of course. There wasn't much happening on a Monday, and surprisingly, the Bucks have a long layoff here until Thursday when they're hosting the Boston Celtics. There will be some college basketball tomorrow night here across the Civic Media Radio Network, where the Wisconsin men's basketball team will take on Nebraska. Coverage of the Badger men's basketball game begins tomorrow at 7:30 on a couple of the stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. The Packers, of course, are off until Sunday when they are in Denver to face the Broncos. That is a 3:25 kickoff next Sunday, so the coverage will begin at 1 o'clock on some of the Civic Media stations. And again, that reminder, the next Packer game after that will be 6 days later. So they're playing this Sunday afternoon and then the following Saturday night in Chicago for another matchup with the Bears. And one other note here that the Badger women's volleyball team moving on in the NCAA tournament. They will be playing against Stanford Friday afternoon down in Austin, Texas, in the regional semifinals of the NCAA tournament. In the news, we'll be following in just a few minutes here the latest on what has been unleashed because of, well, Donald Trump. There's just no other way to put it. And what he has emboldened others to say and do in public. Everybody from, you know, Cinnabon employees to members of Congress. We're going to get into all of that at in our next segment coming up here in just a little bit. We also need to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court and what they're going to be up to today. You'll recall it was just yesterday. We were saying how the Supreme Court was going to hear arguments about independent agencies. And the six right-wing justices made it pretty clear that they're ready to rule to give President Trump more power to fire the board members of all of these various independent agencies. Remember, they were set up as independent agencies to resist political meddling. And that has worked for 70, 80 years, maybe 90 years in the case of some of these, dating back to the Depression. But now, just when a far-right conservative is president, the far-right conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court feel like they're going to change the rules. Well, that was yesterday. Today, it's basically like Justice Kavanaugh said, hold my beer, because the court is going to hear arguments today that could wipe out the remaining barrier and allow billionaires to bypass limits on campaign donations by letting them use political parties as legal laundering tools. In other words, sure, you can say there's a contribution limit of, let's say, $2,000 for a candidate for office. That's fine. $2,000 limit, okay. But there isn't a limit currently on what you can give a political party. So I'm going to give the Wisconsin Republican Party, you know, this small fortune, and there aren't really barriers on what political parties can do for the candidates in their party. So, yeah, there's a contribution limit on what you can give directly to the candidate, but wink. And the Supreme Court today will hear arguments that could wipe out that remaining barrier. Former Senator Russ Feingold filed a brief in that case. I don't know how long the brief is. It should have only been one page. It should have simply been, told you so, love, Russ Feingold. But instead, of course, he'll get into the, you know, the legalities of it and the way that it has opened up our political system to corruption on a level that some would say is unimaginable. But it wasn't unimaginable. We've been imagining this possibility for a long time and trying to warn people ahead of things like the Citizens United case, but it did not come to fruition. So again, the barrier seems to be moving to put unlimited cash into elections. It's what Republican voters voted for in choosing Republican presidents, and that's what's coming before the nation's highest court. We'll get into a couple of episodes, including that Cinnabon employee shouting racist comments at a customer near Green Bay. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I got to do it again. I got to brag about this newsletter that we put out at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for it there, he said, as we come up on 6:23 on this Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. The photo atop of it today comes from Steve in South Milwaukee capturing Grant Park Mill Pond. So you see this little dam and then a pond and then some kind of cabin or something off in the distance. And it's one of those mornings where everything is kind of frosty. Just got a little light frost coating on there. It's just gorgeous. We've got stuff like that every day in the newsletter. Also in the newsletter today, 10 of the best cut-your-own Christmas tree farms in Wisconsin. I would imagine we're really getting to that time of year for a natural tree. You know, you don't want to get it too early because you just know it'll just get all dried out and everything. So this seems to be the best time. I mean, we haven't had a real tree in some time, so I'm no expert on this now. But there are plenty of great Christmas tree farms where you can go to. Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association talked to us about that recently. And in our newsletter, you can get a link to some of the best places to go. There is also a note in the newsletter today about our quarterly pledge drive at Up North News. And again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. So when I talk about fundraising, I'm not talking about Civic Media, just about Up North News, where Up North News is supported by some big donors and some mid-sized donors and a whole lot of smaller donors who, you know, there's no paywall for what we do on social media, the website, you know, all the places where you can watch our videos. And so, you know, once every quarter we pass the hat and say, look, you're not paying for a newspaper subscription for this. What would you like to, kick in a little something? A lot of people click on the link at the top of our website. I think right next to it, the subscribe button, there's one that says support us. But other people are very old school, and I get those emails now and then going, hey, we want to send you a check. We don't want to do online payments. That's fine. Our mailing address is at the bottom of every newsletter. The address has always been the same right here in Chippewa Falls, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls 54729. Again, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls 54729. We get the nicest notes from people along with, you know, the little checks for $10, $25, the occasional check that's larger than that. And every one of them is greatly appreciated, especially for this reason. Out of all the properties of Courier Newsroom, you know, and Up North News is one of the state-based newsrooms. We have newsrooms in Iowa and Michigan, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, North Carolina, and Texas and others. Out of all of them, we have always, for the 6 years we've been around, we have always had the highest total of reader subscription, not subscriptions because it's not a paywall, but, you know, donations, gifts, whatever you want to call it, support. We are the envy of every other outlet in the Courier Newsroom constellation, and we appreciate that so much. For those of you who have been sending those nice notes, again, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa 54729. All right, it gives me no great joy to talk about Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things again. Before we get to his latest Twitter tantrum, let me share just what he said over the weekend at one of the places, one of the few places you'll see Derek Van Orden, a fundraising dinner. Speaking to a group of young Republicans in Oconomowoc, Van Orden said these words, and they're on social media, quote, "I'd take a punch in the face for you. I will fight tirelessly for your freedoms," he said to these young Republicans. So he'd rather take a punch in the face than hold a town hall and actually talk to a group that's not all Republicans. I'm just beginning to think he would take a punch in the face rather than show any difference between himself and Donald Trump. Anything that would show he's fighting tirelessly for his entire district, not just for young Republicans, not just for his dear leader. I'm beginning to agree with the editorial cartoon I saw the other day that guesses that the reason the president needed an MRI recently was to find out exactly how many Republicans are still stuck up his backside. But anyway, let's get back to this tireless keyboard warrior. Among the more than two dozen tweets he made in the past 24 hours, because apparently he's still not interested in doing the job of a congressman, Derek Van Orden's rolling sewage pipe of social media wisdom included this nugget while answering someone who dared criticize him. Quote, "This guy was not satisfied just tarting once." This guy was not satisfied just tarting once, as in retarded. Quick note here that since President Trump used the word retarded recently to describe a governor, there has been a noticeable uptick in the use of that slur. because, as I noted last week, Donald Trump's most notable accomplishment as far as how history will look back on him is that he was somehow able to lift a rock that had been in place for a long time. He lifted the rock that most racists, bigots, and jerks had the good sense to live under. They were quietly racist by comparison to today. But with that rock lifted, that bigotry has the oxygen to flourish. And it doesn't just happen with members of Congress. It happens to a clerk at a Cinnabon store in Ashwaubenon. And by now, you've probably seen the video, if you had to subject yourself to it, of a Cinnabon employee in Ashwaubenon calling two Somali-American customers the N-word and saying to the camera, "I am racist and I'll say that to the entire world." Well, anyway, that video got posted, and Cinnabon, to their great credit, probably set a world record in firing somebody. She claims the customer started the dispute, and you don't see that before the video begins. But right there on the video, the customer confesses to her sin. She was asking for more caramel on a roll because she didn't think there was enough. I mean, you know, who among us wouldn't go full-blown racist if we were working in customer service and a customer was upset about being given a product they didn't think was right? Oh, wait, none of us would do that. Every one of us who've worked with customers has had days getting unfairly criticized by a customer, and you might really hate that person in the moment, but going racist on them? That's behavior you only see from people who feel free crawling out from under that rock that Trump lifted up, whether you are a Cinnabon clerk or a member of Congress. This woman even lost the support of the far-right New York Post. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But first, we've got today's history lesson to tell you all about. So stick around for that, including a little Blues Brothers right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
And for today's history lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
It's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, this depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
We're going to start things a little slow and seasonal today because it was on this day 60 years ago that A Charlie Brown Christmas made its debut, airing on CBS. Probably made a lot of people angry because of the show it preempted. Because, you know, nobody had seen the Charlie Brown Christmas. They didn't know it was going to be a classic.
Yeah.
They were just expecting an episode of The Munsters. And The Munsters was being preempted. I'm guessing it was going to be a rerun anyway because, you know, Halloween.
Wow.
But Charlie Brown Christmas, this day.
Love
still has staying power. Not enough staying power to be on network TV because apparently you can only get it on one of the streaming services.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that gets us into a whole different discussion where who's going to get Netflix. Remember, Netflix is going to buy this and that. Now Paramount is trying to buy the company instead. And pretty soon it's all going to be just under one umbrella, and God only knows what we're going to be paying.
Yeah,
things we used to get for free by turning on our TV.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty bad.
Man. It's the kind of thing that, you know, Linus gives this wonderful monologue about the meaning of Christmas. I'd like to think that in some other parallel universe, Linus comes out and says, "Lights, please," and the spotlight comes on him. And he reminds us that we shouldn't have trillionaires and that we should not have monopolies and that we can actually set the rules that people have to follow so that we can afford to all live and have health care and a decent education. And then he gets done and goes past Charlie Brown and says, "Well, that's what the spirit of democracy is all about, Charlie Brown."
It's the I'm just a bill version of Charlie
yes.
Brown.
And then he, you know, the little tiny tree of democracy just loses some more of its needles as Donald Trump makes another speech.
You know, I did when I was a freshman in high school, I did the school musical every year during high school. But my freshman year, it was "You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown."
Oh,
the
nice.
Show and oh god, I don't
you
remember.
Were...
I think Grant Borcherding, I think,
was Linus, and I think he and another guy flipped off on and off every other night. And they did so well playing Linus.
Who were you?
Oh, I was in the ensemble. I was a freshman, Pat. I was awful.
Gotcha. All right. Let's get to today's birthdays. They include Chicago Bear great Dick Butkus. The late, great Dick Butkus was born this day in 1942, passed away in 2023. Happy 68th birthday to the forever young Donny Osmond. He and Michael Jackson were vying for the title of, you know, America's young male sweetheart singer, as the Jackson 5 and the Osmonds bounced hits back and forth. I made the mistake yesterday of looking for Puppy Love, and instead of finding this classic from the, I forget if it was the late 60s, early 70s, I found a version from like 10 years ago of Donny Osmond singing this. It does not have the same resonance as it does before your voice changes.
Yeah. Oh, I remember before my voice changed.
Dame Judi Dench, 91 years old today. I mean, again, talk about a classic. Talk about a legend. She's just the best. The late Helen Reddy on this day in 1972 became the first Australian to have a number one hit in the U.S.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore. And
I can hear women now listening to these lyrics and go, how are we still fighting some of these battles? I don't know. We got a president that says, quiet piggy, you tell me why we're still fighting these battles. I don't know. So I am woman for Helen Reddy. How about one for the men? Well, on this day in 1851... the first Young Men's Christian Association in North America was set up in Montreal. You, of course, know the Young Men's Christian Association better as today's YMCA.
Pat, one of my roommates in high school, first thing that he ever told our to-be roommates the next year and became good friends with, first thing he ever told them was a lie. He was recruiting them to be on his intramural basketball team, and he told them that he played during high school. He did not play during high school. He played at the Y.
Okay.
First thing he ever said. So you meant that he was on, like, varsity. And he was like, oh, no, I played at the Y. He didn't tell him that for, like, a year.
Didn't realize YMCA basketball, you held that in such low esteem compared to high school ball.
I mean, a little bit.
Okay. Let's see. So that was Helen Reddy as the number one single this day in 1972. On that very same day, December 9th, 1972, Neil Diamond released his legendary live double album, Hot August Night.
Touching me, touching you.
Now notice something's going to be missing here. See, just some people that might be too young. Bump, bump, bump. It said so good, so good, so good. That was not part of the original tunage from back in 1972. I'm not even sure when it came up, but it came up much, much later.
I refuse to believe there is a version of this without bump, bump, bump.
All of the Neil Diamond versions are without bump, bump, bump. Anyway, Hot August Night was recorded in concert back on August 24th of 1972. It was one of 10 sold-out concerts that Neil Diamond performed that month at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. More than 2 million copies of the album were sold, and most of the playbacks of that album were done by my mom on the 8-track deck of her 1976 Ford Granada. My God, we heard this so many times. Anyway, mom's not listening. It's okay. On this day in 1978, the number one hit was by Chic. Freak Out was a big hit. It was the number one song for 7 weeks. Nile Rodgers says that He and Bernard Edwards, the bass player, came up with the song after being mistakenly denied access to a party that they had been invited to.
Oh.
So the original lyrics of the song they wrote were not "Freak Out." They did begin with a letter F. It was not "Freak Out." It was something else entirely. CeeLo Green later had a song that incorporated that title when you could actually get away with that kind of thing. So, "Freak Out." It was originally a protest song of sorts, shall we say. So this was number one on the singles chart in this day in 1978. On that very same day in 1978, the Blues Brothers released their first single. This, of course, would be John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. The original is by Sam and Dave. Again, the Blues Brothers, this date in 1978, Soul Man comes out. On this day in 1983, an advisor to President Ronald Reagan, Ed Meese, summed up Reaganism perhaps better than even its namesake when he said, "Soup kitchens and food pantries only exist, quote, because the food is free and that's easier than paying for it." I don't know if Ed Meese ever opened up a Bible or went to church, but at least we know he believes in the gospel of selfishness. On this day in 1989, Billy Joel began a 2-week at number one on the singles chart with the one song he says he'd maybe like a do-over on. Not that he regrets the song, but just this that is not a typical Billy Joel melody.
No.
By any stretch. But it worked for those lyrics. The problem wasn't the song. The problem was that it was catchy and it was historical. And so teachers were using it in schools and people were kind of jogging their memories, you know, about whether they could remember Liberace and Mariotti, you know, everybody that's in there. And it just got played out. I mean, it's just, you hear it now and you're just like, no, I don't want to listen all the way through.
Can you imagine where the world would be, Pat, if we didn't overplay so many songs?
But that's the whole point. It's when we talk about pop music, the pop stands for popular.
Yeah.
If something's popular, it's always going to risk being overplayed. It's there's no magic button that you press where you go, "That's it. We can't play that song anymore. It's no longer popular."
There's got to be a quota.
We have to drive this baby into the ditch, okay? On this day in 2008, the governor of Illinois was arrested. Rod Blagojevich was arrested by federal officials for attempting to sell the United States Senate seat being vacated by President-elect Barack Obama. Rod Blagojevich is a free man today because, of course, he was pardoned by Donald Trump. And that takes us to today's National Day calendar, Parker, first on the list.
It is International Anti-Corruption Day, Pat.
Oh, that's adorable. Anti-Corruption Day? Were we ever against corruption? That's lovely. International Anti-Corruption Day, yeah. Or as we call it, the good old days. What else we got?
It is also Christmas Card Day.
Okay.
Okay.
Many. I don't know if this is a rant or if this is just a question.
Oh boy.
Maybe we've just lost a lot of friends, or maybe a lot of people are late this year, or maybe Christmas cards are just falling out of fashion. But yeah. We have been very surprised at the downturn in Christmas cards.
Sure.
Now we put ours out earlier than ever, yeah. Which, you know. So we maybe built our expectations too high. I'm sure an avalanche will come. But I'm wondering if other folks are there. Are you running later this year? Or was this the year that you said, you know, we got social media. You don't need to see a Christmas card. You know what we're doing all the time. That should have been my question of the day is, you know, are you still sending Christmas cards or have you stopped?
Yeah, I don't know that my family's ever done Christmas cards, to be honest with you.
Really?
At least like my house and my family. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever doing it, no.
You know, and we've for years have sent cards to friends that we know they don't send cards, but that's fine. We like sending cards to our friends and little, you know, letters with the update and photos of the kids and grandkids on there. And that's all fine and good, but definitely not seeing the same kind of volume. Although, again, given who's running the post office, there might be issues that way, too. It's just it's a different world that we live in these days. All right. Coming up in our next hour, we are going to be talking to the mayor of Superior, Jim Payne, about the issue of affordable housing. We'll be visiting as well with Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV, Newswatch 12. And then we will also have, right after the news, your keyword in our grown-up gift list, Text to Win contest. Real information, great conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin, live from the lake. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, get that Civic Media app ready for that keyword coming up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What are you doing to me, man?
Oh, you know.
Did Greg Bach put you up to this?
No.
This is Greg. Greg? Greg? This has Greg's fingerprints all over it. Why? I thought there was a do not play label on this thing. But no.
No?
All right.
It's colored green for me, and green means go as far as
all right. That's enough of the one, arguably one of the worst Christmas songs ever. However, Christmas songs are all over the Billboard Hot 100. Let's see. Got a note here from Roger in Stevens Point, who says, "All I Want for Christmas Is You" by Mariah Carey has now spent 19 weeks at number one collectively. Let's see. So I just called it up here. You've got "All I Want for Christmas Is You." "Last Christmas" by Wham is the number six song in the country. "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree" by Brenda Lee from 1961, something like that.
I will say my favorite thing about Christmas music is so much of it is old.
Yes.
And it's those ones that we still like.
Yep. "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree" by Brenda Lee, number seven. "Jingle Bell Rock" by Bobby Helms, also from the early 60s, is number eight out there. Let's see. Now, here's a new one by Ariana Grande, "Santa Tell Me," is number 13. I don't know if it's new this year, but it's not, you know, 1960s new. Andy Williams, "Most Wonderful Time of the Year," is at number 17. Nat King Cole's "The Christmas Song" is at 18. Kelly Clarkson's "Underneath the Tree," 19, and "Sleigh Ride" by the Ronettes is the 20th most popular song based on streaming and sales and radio airplay. "Underneath the Tree" by Kelly Clarkson is kind of my new Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You," in terms of, you know, favorite Christmas tune recorded, you know, in my adulthood, not like before I was even born.
Yeah.
The Kelly Clarkson one has really grown on me. I really like that one.
I don't know if I know that one.
But then there's a lot of classics on here that continue to get played. And we, you know, again, we should find out what other people think for their favorite and least favorite songs. Or artists, like Artith puts on Facebook, "Your mom and I may have had a contest to see who played Neil Diamond the most." What a guy.
Oh, I thought that was your mom joke for a minute.
My mom was way up there in her love of Neil Diamond. All right, what else do we have for entertainment news here?
On entertainment news today, Jimmy Kimmel, you may remember him because you know that whole thing.
Is he fired again?
No, he's been extended, Pat.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
I hear someone in the White House isn't happy.
I would bet not. So Jimmy Kimmel gets a contract extension.
He does. He's been extended through the end of the 26-27 TV season. So, Jimmy Kimmel.
The 26-27 season? See what I did there?
I'm going to just turn you off, I think. I think I have control over this microphone.
The 26-27 season, and people are screaming, throwing popcorn. All right. What else we got?
Leonardo DiCaprio has been named Time Magazine's Entertainer of the Year.
Why?
Why? Because...
I mean, no, seriously, I'm not exactly one with pop culture these days. Has he done something since, I don't know, Great Gatsby or Titanic or whatever? What's he been doing lately?
One battle after another has been cited.
Oh, yes. Okay, one battle after another is getting all kinds of press, and I, again... I'm not the person you want to go to for movie recommendations because I just want to laugh. You know, I'm not much into violence or even, you know, I'll do some dramas, but not much. But if it's just going to make me sad, you know, and that's when you hear the movie's called One Battle After Another. I'm like, I don't know. I got a lot of battles in my life already, but clearly Leo must be in this thing that he's getting.
Yes.
The accolades, right?
I'm not positive, but I thought he might have been the executive producer on it too.
Okay.
So,
that would make sense. Okay. And so I would imagine that is that part of the Golden Globes nominations that came out as well?
It is the leader of the Golden Globes nominations,
okay.
Pat. One Battle After Another has 9 nominations. Sinners has 7. Wicked for Good, a little bit fewer than I think people thought there would be. They only had 5 nominations, 2 of which were for Best Song.
Okay. Once again.
Oh, boy.
showing my age.
Pat's realizing how few of these he knows.
I'm just bringing it up, and I'm looking at all of the things, and I'm going, I did not know that that was a movie.
To be fair, I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. It was a podcast.
Best motion picture drama is Frankenstein, Hamnet, It Was Just an Accident, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, and Sinners. So there was a new Frankenstein that came out?
There's always a new Frankenstein.
I haven't heard of any of the other ones here. Best picture, musical, or comedy, Blue Moon, Begonia, Marty Supreme, No Other Choice, Newville Vague, and One Battle After Another.
I really need
to see more movies.
How about
on the TV side? Is there anything there? Let's see. The best series, the Diplomat, The Pit, Pluribus, Severance, Slow Horses, White Lotus. I've seen like the first episode of 4 of those and said, you know, that's not really for me.
Hey, good on you for trying.
Although, well, The Diplomat is one that we're going to give. We've watched 1 episode.
Yeah.
And... We're going to give that one a second episode. We're not doing The Pit because it's a medical drama, and I'm married to somebody who has to live that all of the time.
Yeah, you get enough of that.
Slow Horses, Gary Oldman. Looks like something I would really like, but it looks like something Sherry really wouldn't like. So we're not. There's not going to be a lot of time there spent watching that. But again, I watched the first episode, and I thought it was great. The White Lotus, I don't know. Maybe a little quirky. So I'm either turning off people left and right, or a whole new legion of people who are going, thank God it's not just me. So whichever class you're in, we hope you stick around anyway, and we'll tell you who wins all these nominations. It's just that, you know, the news might come with a little bit of snark attached to it.
What's new?
That's the price of admission for this radio program, kids. I think you already figured that out by now. Anyway, coming up after the news, we're going to have that keyword again in the grown-up gift list. Text to win contest. We'll be talking to the mayor of Superior as well, Jim Payne. And then in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom in Washington, D.C., and Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.